we're probably about done. We should probably move on to whoever's next.
KFC
time. Hey, Julian.
It's been more a very quick status report, I guess, and then maybe some requests for input. Firstly, before I say very much more, is there anyone here who has absolutely no idea what KFC is?
Flat them.
Okay.
Or kill them, better yet.
I know that a lot of people have heard the words and or the letters and haven't really sort of thought what it is from to a depth. So I'm going to give a brief description. It's an attempt to produce support for high quality threading within the kernel. Or rather, the threading would be outside of the kernel, but support would be provided by the kernel. The approach is really twofold. We're taking advantage of some work that was done on a paper by a fellow by the name of Anderson, and the paper was called Scheduler Activations.
Right.
And they're also implementing a Scheduler Activations framework in NetBSD. They're sticking closer to the paper. What we're implementing here is a variant of that after discussions between Jason Evans, myself, John, Peter, Terry, Archie, basically mostly Bay Area people because that's where we are, but other people also. And we've made some slight changes to the way in which it's implemented, but the basic concept is the same. The threading comes from the ability to produce asynchronous system calls, and that's the basic thrust of the whole thing from the outside point of view. Any system call you do from the point of view of the thread in question looks as though it's stopped made block, but from the point of view of the process as a whole, any thread that does a system call and the system call blocks, control is returned to the user thread scheduler because a new thread is produced on the fly and loaded up with a return stack that brings it back to the user scheduler. We've extended this a little bit to produce multiple entry points, or multiple upcall points. One upcall point basically per CPU. This is so that you can run multiple invocations of this on different CPUs at the same time. The threads could actually migrate between them, but the point is that when the upcalls occur, they occur to different stack contexts, one for each CPU basically, so they don't get themselves mixed up about who's doing what and where. That would be the main difference from what we're doing, what's happening with the schedule activations. Now, a status report is that as I have in a set of patches which are available from my website on Freefall, patches that actually get us as far as a kernel-supported version of what we have at the moment with the pthreads package. In other words, it's kernel-supported single-processor threads. It's at the point where all system calls are asynchronous, but only on one processor at a time. The next set of work will be to spread this across multiple processors. I showed in the WIP, I don't know if anyone who came to the work in progress session would have seen this running. I actually have an example running three threads in a single process, all running slightly different sleep times. And from the point of view, each thread did a sleep system call and it returned in 3 seconds, but the process was still able to go and do other work during that 3 seconds while that particular thread was asleep. Anyhow, the next stage is to take what I've got so far and make it actually complete or even safe. What I've got at the moment works, but I've broken pthreads on the way, which means that we can't debug processes. This is a bit of a problem. This is the reason why I haven't checked in what I've got so far. What I have checked in is a number of changes that were part of this change but turned out to be independently orthogonal changes that were not quite orthogonal. They were required for this, but they turned out to be also a good idea in the system as a whole, and so they've been checked in as separate changes to try and just reduce the clutter of the diff in question so that people can look at the diff from my website and actually see what's going on instead of seeing thousands of function renames or, you know, variable renames, field renames, and so on. It's not a terribly huge diff at the moment. The next set of changes will be to try, well, first I'm going to try and get it so we can run GDB. But after that, and we've checked in this milestone 3, the next change will probably be to check in or to make the changes required to be able to run threads on multiple processors. I guess that, I'm not sure whether that'll be milestone 4 or milestone 5. There may be an intermediate milestone between where we have more complete implementation of the application programming interface, but still only on one processor. Because at the moment there's only two system calls implemented, the one that produces a new thread and the one that allows one to go away. There are other APIs, API entry points needed other than those two to change the manner in which the processes, the threads are running, and other more fine-tuning things. They are not so important, but they have to be done at some stage. So that may be milestone 4. But anyhow, I expect, looking at the rate in which things are going at the moment, I'm expecting that I'll have the ability to run the present stuff checked in probably within the month. That's single processor. It depends on how tricky it is to get GDB working properly again. And beyond that, probably I'm hoping June or July for the whole multi-process possibility version, depending on how much I totally screw up the SMP system, the SMP people.
It might be the other way around.
I'm trying to get that first.
Erase the hidden through the other one.
Yeah.
Good way to think
it. Turns out actually the changes that we put in for milestone 2, which was changing process to thread all over the system, was a painful one, but not as painful as John had feared. It was basically just all the P's turned to TDs.
So that was kind of painful.
But it wasn't as painful as you feared.
Not as intellectually suffering.
It only took me about 2 months to actually get my trees working again.
So. You didn't, but it was mainly mechanical edits. So.
You had other things to worry about at the time too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You didn't fix up all the GDB macros which got broken as a result.
Are they checking somewhere?
Yeah, they're dot files. They don't really exist.
Do they compile? No.
Anyhow, that's where I am. I have the hope that I can check this stuff in soon so that the user land people can start working on it. Actually, they could start with what I have on the diff file already, and I think that Dan Ocean has already started looking at signing the user land file over. Is there any other comments or questions from anyone at this stage? Does anyone think this is a bad idea? And the reason I ask that is because there's a movement at the moment saying that, you know, threads in general are a bad idea and the one should not put them into your kernel. And I'm thinking, well, that's a legitimate point of view. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this at all.
Well, we never quite finished our discussion on Tuesday. I still end up with a feeling that this triple layered thing is maybe one layer too many.
It's actually a four layer, but anyway.
then I'm stuck with the feeling it's two layers too many. But
the intermediate layers are pretty much null layers.
Okay, I need to read the code. I mean, I'd register a certain doubt at this stage, but I can't really justify it, so I'll just shut up again.
Which layers are you? You mean you want just threads and...
Just threads and processes, yeah. I mean,
I wanted to do that too, and myself and Julian Peter had a long discussion where we worked with the scheduler. And if you do that, if you have a thread, a process creates a crap load of threads, you can really struggle with the process really bad because you don't fairly hand
problem
around.
Yeah,
it's very possible that after a long discussion, I'll come to the same conclusion.
It took me a long discussion, but yes, yeah, you can trust it. That's the way you have to do it.
Okay, fair enough. But, I think there's quite a number of other people here. That's
actually quite good for my ego, you know, so I walk in there and Peter and John just say, oh, no,
no,
no, no. Never going to work. 4 hours on whiteboards. Oh, look, he's exactly like
I started. I think it's worth having this discussion, because I'm sure the number of people sitting here sort of trying to turn this stuff over their head and not making any sense out of it.
It sounds like a great subject for a blueprint paper for Demon News.
Isn't it a good subject for,
yeah,
for bike shit? Yeah.
Well,
anyhow, I think I'm safe, but no one has any questions on Robbie.
Yeah, my problem.
When do you plan on actually explicitly be on call instead of explicitly be on call?
Say that again?
Well, I sort of thought the idea was that you would system call to enable this KSC-like behavior,
yes.
Passing some parameter like where, like a function pointer of some sort in the user space, and then you go into the kernel, and when you had some block on something, it would perform an up call. So it was like text activation is almost like, it's almost like kernel thread on demand.
Yes.
Now, you're saying there's an explicit call to allocate and deallocate that. I'm wondering when...
No. There's not an explicit call to deallocate or deallocate threads. There's a call that gives... It's hard to describe the whole thing. You do a call which says, I'm going to go into this mode, and when you come back, when something blocks, come back to me as an nth or n plus one return from this system call, and I'm going to do now.
Oh, okay.
Give
me Julian. That's exactly what I was asking. And
yes.
That's great.
That's what we're working now.
I was like, we had our fork like 3 years ago, Julian.
No, that's what we have. That's what it is now. And it uses the fork return. It uses the fork return code to actually do it. I haven't added any code. I just used the fork return code.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay.
I just wanted to clarify that a little bit. Basically, it works just like the upcall mechanism works just like fork at the moment, except instead of returning once in the parent and once in the child, it just basically keeps returning over and over and over again. And so you get to keep all your local variables, your local state, and everything that you've set up exactly the way that you want it. And it just keeps returning each time that the user thread scheduler has got something that needs to be taken care of.
Another question that comes to mind. It took us quite a while to do R fork. Actually, I think it was Matt who did the work to make the R fork stuff visible without having to
the Linux pthread had the phone to support about this, but there was a discussion where I provided some of it.
Oh, okay. I thought that means
it was actually code. It was code provided by John Dyson,
yeah.
And it was then incorporated by somebody else into a library routine which you can use.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, one of my questions is. Can we not only offer the trivial level call, but some sort of library in case someone wants to write?
I actually have that already written.
Okay.
And I'm using it in my test program.
That's his test program. I actually interceded twice with my hands still raised.
Yes, Matt, what would you like?
What I would like you to do is to actually provide everyone here with a little eye candy. I don't think people quite understand how much this simplifies the userland pthread library. And maybe if you could talk about that a moment in terms of all the syscall wrapper crap we do now.
For example,
okay. An example. The thread library at the moment, just to get basic threads application, threads behavior on normal code, like for instance reads, writes, socket applications, anything that you could imagine could block. Okay, is a set of code in the library at the moment. Which I'm not sure exactly how much it is, but it's something like 5,000 lines of C or something, which is keeping track of huge numbers of bits in select masks. Like basically everything you do, it turns into a select if it possibly can. Otherwise, it turns it into something else. And it keeps track of aggregating sleeps and everything. And the entire userland thread scheduler in my test program is 10 lines. So, plus an assembly routine, which is about. 10 lines of assembler plus loading use and 5 lines of assembler, whatever.
Just a quick thing, the user level thread scheduler crashes down in a screaming heap if you do disk I.O. versus network I.O. It's only useful for network I.O. which basically means that we just simply cannot use it, because the moment that one of your web server threads tries to read something from disk and blocks, and all of a sudden you've got 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 network threads all blocked while one single thread is waiting for a disk seek.
Yeah, so we actually get disk bioparallelism now, things like
yeah.
that.
And
yeah,
that's
very
that,
cool.
That's just the thing that we get for free with the KSC mechanism.
Oh, yeah. Also, non-complicated AIO.
Yeah, that's going to
yeah,
be really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things is that I'd like to be able to still use userland thread stuff for doing network AIO, because,
there's nothing to stop you from continuing. I haven't broken select.
No, I know. I'm saying that perhaps, you know, for file operations that we know are going to be on sockets, we can. Well, it'll be an optimization.
There's no point. The thing is, there's no point in not using them.
No, there's
because all that we're allocating for you on behalf of you is a stack for the kernel context to be saved in, and a structure that contains some pointers. If you use it.
Well,
if you block, and if you're asking for it.
How big is a knode or required to listen on a network socket versus the overhead of the blocked KSC?
Well, the knode would be smaller.
Yeah, that's the point.
But I mean, there's a partitioning here. If you're talking about I.O. reading, there's certainly an issue. I think Alfred's very correct there. If you're talking about I.O. writing, however, the socket buffering and other...
This meeting is scheduled to end in 10 minutes.
Ending magically every 6 to 60 minutes.
Already,
but it's how
the kernel will tend to make those system calls not block most of the time, and the KSC mechanism is just incredible under those conditions, where only 1% of your writes even block. But for reading, if you're doing lots and lots and lots and lots of reading, like you're reading 1,000 descriptors at once, and there is an issue here that does...
The point of scheduled write activations is that it allows you to have a general purpose mechanism for implementing whatever you want, and that was one of the big benefits of the scheduled write activations paper, was that it could allow your user land scheduler to implement whatever policy you wanted without committing the kernel scheduler to that. And so
what's
the work that's been done so far can support, you know, whatever you like, and I agree that there's very interesting things to look at, especially in the reading space. But I think for those, the first level, in order to reduce complexity, in order to get something out for 5.0, I think just doing the very basic, you know, KSE schedule write activation library and user land is what we should do. I mean, debugging, and we can talk a bit about the 5.0 release schedule later, but
yeah.
I think it's already risky to change the version of the libc threading stuff for a release. And by the nice thing about the current stuff provided by scheduler activation is that what we have to test and look at in userland is going to be very, very simple. If we start adding the other stuff, then I think we introduce a lot more risk.
My theory is, in fact, that we will keep the present code around to be able to be used by people, and we're going to have just a new library you can link against, because I don't want to be the person that's completely responsible for the entire threads universe. I'd rather that somebody had a fallback. I mean, I'm very happy that there's the Linux thread stuff at the moment, because it means that we have at least two different, you know, arrows in our quiver, and everything will be better.
And we have a default. In GCC, we can give it like minus key threads or something. If we can change the default inside the GCC to 0.2 and even raise it.
There will have to be some complex stuff inside of the library still, because you'll still have to be locking for the user land libc primitive.
I don't think so, because
no.
There's only one context in user land.
Per CPU.
Oh, well,
you still have to do the other stuff. You still have to lock around accessing the file primitive inside of libc and all that stuff. It's just the kernel primitives you no longer have to do all the work for.
That's correct, yeah. You're right. Just as an aside before I go and sit down again, slightly amusing thing. As part of this work, I had to rearrange the way in which threads are done, obviously, since I was part of the process structure before. We now have, I now have a pool of three threads. In other words, there's nothing in it. Once a thread has been deallocated or made available to use by other people, it's been freed, there's nothing in it of any importance. And it can be just put into a pool of three threads. Yes. Anyhow, that and then pulled off again, and it turns out that the actual now that I have a cache of threads,
it's actually quicker than it was before, because prior to that we were allocating and doing quite a bit more fussing around in terms of getting it ready than we do now.
I have a cache of a number of threads
which are available to be added, and if the cache reaches a high watermark, then any new free threads have their stacks discarded and they put back into the mem pool and so on. But until that cache is full, I'm not pulling them apart at all. I'm just
I have a function which does that and I call it from a couple of places. Firstly, most of the thread exits
at the moment are called from, surprisingly enough, exit, and that calls wait. So wait is an obvious place to put a thread reaper. Okay. The other good place to put a thread reaper, interestingly enough, is the place where you allocate threads. In other words, you use the queue of to be reaped threads as an extension to your cache. Right. So every time you allocate a thread, it has to take a quick look to the side and says, oh, by the way, are there any that need to be reaped? And if there are, it does that first, and maybe saves himself an allocation.
Andrew, interesting. For the people on the phone line, yes, we did hear this conference call ended 10 minutes. The conference call automatically extended itself for 60 minutes every time we reached the end of the conference call, so don't let that worry you. Well, you just hear some beeping and occasional talking from the funny lady.
Okay, any questions?
Maybe I'm just too dense. I just have one little corner case I want to ask about with the KMP. So let's say that you have a relatively simple application, is that you register the KSP callback thing, I understand
yeah.
that, I may not be saying it right, and then it makes a call, so far the application hasn't called Pvert or something, it makes a call into a blocking syscall
yep.
and blocks.
Yep.
That thread comes back in the KSP.
No, that thread's blocked.
The kernel interface is cool. The kernel interface looks exactly like it does today. You get a true stack and everything.
Okay,
that's
great.
The beauty of it.
You're going to get something coming back.
Something comes into your user land first.
Right. And what happens when to that you know,
right.
stack,
that's
that KSP,
the new
when
one,
there's nothing to do?
It calls yield, which basically is a call back into the kernel saying, I don't know why you called me, I have nothing to do.
Okay.
And that thread gets discarded. And in fact, one of the possibilities is, since there is a mailbox between that's being used between the userland thread scheduler and the kernel. And there's one possibility is that you can set a bit in there saying, and this is my last usable thread, and if this one blocks, don't bother calling me back. Save that context. Just let these ones finish.
That would introduce a race condition.
Why?
Good.
Okay.
I don't know why it works.
Well, I think
plus
we should,
that brings
yeah.
one thing
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
right. Anyhow, I'm just saying that's covered, that the yield call covers what he says, and there are, in fact, possibilities that may not even need to do that. You do the yield call in the first place.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the phone and see if there are any questions from the phone regarding KMP.
I have one upstanding here.
No.
Yep. Oh, yeah. the black shirt there. Yeah, me. What sort of performance implications are there of KSD?
I actually was unable to see any performance implications.
Neither positive nor negative.
In disk IO cases, it will be orders of magnitude better. For pure network, maybe a smidge slower, but...
Well, look a lot better on my scroll benchmark.
Yes, we will be able to hold our heads with, we will not have to sort of disappear quietly from the room when somebody does a MySQL benchmark.
But from the performance of a non-threaded process, when you run a non-threaded process and compare that speed or timing with a non-KSD kernel, I've been unable to make any difference at all within any statistical difference. The differences that I was able to see, sometimes, you know, you'd get a few milliseconds faster and sometimes a few milliseconds slower. So as far as I'm concerned, it's fine.
Yeah. Let me go to the phone and make sure that there's no one there who wants to ask a question. Anybody on the phone want to do a KSD question?
Anyone on the phone?
There are people.
Your meeting reservation has been extended. 60 minutes.
Awesome.
Okay, let me try it again. Anybody out there who wants a question?
Anyone?
Anybody out there?
Is there anybody out there, period?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'll give it a shot. At what level would the user-LAN thread scheduling operate? Is it at the library level, or is it, where?
You would, the user-LAN thread scheduler would be a library you would link with, but the aim is that once you've linked with it, that's the last you know about it, except for a couple of calls.
So how about programs written in other languages besides C or whatever language the library is in?
You have to write your own library.
But, I don't know.
But it, you know, considering that, as I say, that the basic library that I have in my test program is, you know, like I think the user land thread scheduler itself is 25 lines of C plus there's another 5 routines for initialization, each of which are about like 5 lines long. I'm sure that writing one for another language wouldn't be a major obstacle.
So it's really going to be a much more trimmed down version of the current implementation.
Oh, it's going to be a lot simpler than the current implementation, because the current implementation is trying to make all your system calls look asynchronous when they're not.
Right.
These ones actually are. So it basically, instead of trying to make black look green, we just painted it green.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Any other questions from the phone before we go back to the room again? Okay. Warner, you had a question?
I was just wondering, does this mean it breaks the one application that we have that's threaded that's not written in the standard preset?
No. Same stuff.
So yeah.
Same stuff will not be harmed. It has its own thread package anyway, and it can use the land as well.
Does this actually mean we can port new stuff to other platforms?
There's that possibility.
I've heard several people mention that they would like to take a shot at writing the text-only part of CBSUP in C++. So,
is the frying pan into the corner?
About a demo. I'm done. Okay.
There you go.
Let's move on.